Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, there they go again. The amazing Doobie Brothers playing and singing Listen to the Music. And that's what we're going to do. This is now the third segment of Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair with me, Jerry Pives. And we have Glenn Thurston with us. He of mentalhunts.co.nz. And we're going to ask Glenn to chart his life through seven pieces of music. Glenn, what's the piece of music that reminded you most of your childhood?
One particular song that just really stuck out for me, because when I was a young fella, we'd have visitors over for whatever it was, and I'd have to get the house cleared out so we could move all the lounges, move all the chairs so that I could put on Dire Straits' Money for Nothing and I could do my rat dancing for everyone. Something I used to do as a kid. I'd bug mum until she could clear the room so that I could do my rat dancing. So yeah, Dire Straits is Money for Nothing is my definitely a childhood memory for me.
That would be in Australia, right?
Yeah, that was in Australia. I would have only been seven, six. Yeah, a real young fella.
Yeah. You had a rap routine that you used to perform for family and friends.
Yeah, not really rap music, but it was just something about the song. It always got me going, so I'd get out and dance and do my rap moves. Yeah, puts a smile on my face every time I think about it, actually. Yeah.
So tell me about what these rap moves are. I'm really interested.
Oh, the dolphin, the worm, and all sorts. Yeah, they're pretty bad, to be honest. Everyone came to like it. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. So we're going to listen to Mark Knopfler's Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, probably the most iconic guitar riff in the whole of rock music, right? It's beautiful. Listen, if you've been a little bit stressed or you've been triggered by anything that's been talked about on this show, get up and dance, guys, because this is Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. That was Dire Straits and Money for Nothing. I hope you got to move. Even if you're driving a car, you do some seat dancing. I hope you got to discharge a bit of stress and trauma out your body. don't tell anyone I said that, right? Glenn, tell me, what's your second piece of music and why have you chosen it?
So the next one is from Phil Collins. And it's In the Air Tonight. And Phil Collins was a big part of my childhood, I suppose, with my father was a real fan of Phil Collins. My dad was a drummer, a jazz drummer, and he loved Phil Collins. So we quite often heard this. And it was also a very appropriate song. My father passed away after 30 years of struggling with depression and then later life of dementia. So he recently lost the battle and this song was played at his funeral. So it's got more meanings than one, not just childhood, but just of recent days. And I love listening to it every time I hear it, thinking about my dad. Dad battled for 30 years with depression and it's something that wasn't really treated very well back then. So hence is another reason why I'm getting loud and making noise around this topic because, it was very much pushed behind closed doors and don't tell anyone about what Dad's going through and let's don't tell them Dad's in his bedroom sleeping, don't talk about what Dad did. And, it was a different time. So I don't think anyone should have to go through what Dad went through. I want to stand proud of my illness and everyone else that's struggling with it should too.
And do you know what caused that depression with your dad? Do you know what happened in his life that would cause him to struggle so much?
Yeah, I sort of do and I don't, but like we talk now that a lot of, a big life change can bring on depression. And we did move from Sydney to Adelaide At the same time, he took an early retirement from Qantas. He worked for 27 years as chief steward for first class in Qantas. So he took a massive, you know, 27 years of a job, retired, took an early retirement, and then we moved interstate. So there was two massive changes in his life, and I think he just didn't know how to deal with it when we moved. I see it now. I mean, it must have been a huge change in his life to go from this man that traveled the world to, bang, you don't travel the world anymore and you're in a whole different state, because that was where my mum's family was from. So, yeah, I totally get what caused it, and I think it could have been well managed. Like this day and age, there's so many things that he could have done to help, but back then it was just, bang, medication. Bang, get on medication. And, you know, that was a big part of me, why I was a bit anti-medication, because he was put on two medications that shouldn't have been put together, which in turn ended up, yeah, causing a pretty negative effect on his life. And that just snowballed from there. And he ended up with shock treatment to the brain and 13 treatments of shock treatment for that matter. So I don't know whether he got dementia or his brain got cooked, but either way, he wasn't a very well man. And yeah, it was, watched him deteriorate over years. He got put in a home for a couple of years, and I remember recording Phil Collins on back in the day with the cassettes. I bought him a little radio from the shop, and I got a whole heap of blank tapes, and I recorded all his favourite music so that he had his favourite music when he was in the home, because he didn't even know who we were at that stage. And so I did that for him, because it was one thing that throughout this whole time of having dementia and his depression, he never lost his rhythm. He could always play the drums like flawlessly. It was just, the rhythm was unbelievable. So yeah, the drum part in this is definitely my favorite part in the air tonight. So yeah, hence why we played it at his funeral.
Oh, wonderful. What a beautiful and rather moving story there. I have to say that I've heard so many stories in my time of combinations of drugs and also the remarkable damage of the electric shock treatment, which is still to this day one of the most popular treatments for persistent depression.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go near it or recommend it to anyone. That's just my opinion. I got no medical facts to that, but yeah, I remember going and visiting Dad after he just not long had shock treatment, and it's like something you see out of a movie. I went into a dark room. He was sitting in his chair, slumped over, and had no idea who I was and if that was fixing him. I don't know why. I don't know what to say, but yeah, it wasn't a nice thing to see as a young kid. I would have been 13 at that stage. Yeah, and to be fair, I didn't really understand it myself. I didn't even know what it was. It was like, pull your head in, Dad. You know, it was just that mentality. No one really knew what it was. We knew he was sick, but it was hard to call it a sickness back then.
And do you think that had an impact on you as well in later life with your depression?
I guess it did. I don't dwell too much on the past or anything. I try to just always open doors and move forward, but I guess it did. I never really had a father figure because Dad was not well. He's sort of always just in his room sleeping. And, you know, he did some good stuff with us when I was a bit younger. We'd go camping and we'd do a heap of stuff, which got me in the outdoors. I guess that's where I get that from. But yeah, at the age of 13, moving into my teenage years and my drinking years, I was never really had Dad around. And I mean, there's many people in this world that don't have around. So, you know, it's not a sob story. It's just, but yeah, I guess it did have a little bit of an impact on me. Yeah, never really got to go and have a beer with my dad when I turned 18. Dad was quite a social drinker as well. Not a bad drunk, never did anything, never beat us up, never a bad drunk, never an angry man, always happy. But yeah, just drank a lot because he traveled the world. I would too. It was a pretty social life he lived, you know, so. But yeah, and I don't know, there's a lot of studies going into flying and traveling the world for 27 years. Does that have an effect on your brain? I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure there's something in it. Changing time slots over and over and over and over again. Can't be, they say how bad night shifts is for you. I mean, far out. So there's got to be something in that as well, I suppose. But yeah. It wasn't nice to watch, especially when he went into the home. It was pretty horrible going and punching in a code to go visit your dad. But but it was what it was, and yeah, you survived it for 30 years and ended up dying of stroke. So yeah, a couple of years ago. So I'm sort of glad for his sake he doesn't have to fight that fight anymore. He can just lay at peace now. So yeah, he fought it for a long time.
What was your dad's first name?
John.
So this, we're going to listen to Phil Collins in the air tonight, and some of us are going to be thinking of John with his fantastic drum rhythms. Yeah. That was Phil Collins in the air tonight, and some of us were thinking of Glenn's dad doing his drum riffs and his rhythms, remembering him with Glenn. And Glenn, we're on to our third piece of music now. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got one here that just sort of reminds me of my younger days when I first met my wife, and we were reasonably young, 17, 18. She was, and I was 20. And when we started doing a bit of travelling over here to New Zealand, and any time we were anywhere with a jukebox, we'd always find this one particular song and put it on. And it means a lot to me because right back from then, I guess the song is from Benny King, Stand By Me, but the words pretty much sum it up. I was asked her to stand by me, and that's what she's done up to this day. The situations I was in, the drinking I was doing, the depression I've had, there's many a woman that would have walked away, and Jen has stood by me pretty much from the start. And, you know, I got her to thank for who I am today. So, yeah. This means a lot. Like I say, I still remember traveling around New Zealand. Every time we'd go into one of those old country pubs, we'd find the jukebox and it would always have a Stand By Me in it. Didn't matter where you were in the world, it'd have a Stand By Me. So, this one's for me and Jen.
Wonderful. Stand By Me by Benny King. Well, that was Stand By Me, and I'm talking to Glenn Thurston in the psychotherapist chair, and this is the third segment of our show called Music With Meaning, and that piece of music had the meaning of traveling around with his now wife, but I think then girlfriend, in Australia, every time they went to a pub, playing Stand By Me. You didn't try any of your rap moves, did you, when that was playing?
No, save that for the wedding night, no.
Well, moving right along, I think that takes us to our fourth piece of music from you, Glenn. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so this one's Trisha Yearwood, How Do I Live? So this particular song was, imagine the most beautiful girl walking down the aisle to this song, because that's pretty much what happened. And it was the day that we got to tie the knot, and yeah, 20 years on now, coming up 21 years in a couple months. So yeah, another one for Jen.
And this was your wedding song. Oh, it's a real heart song, this one. Trisha Yearwood, How Do I Live? That was Trisha Yearwood, How Do I Live Without You? And Glenn, that was your fourth piece of music. That was your wedding song. Yeah. Tell us what the next piece of music is.
Yeah, so this next one reminds me a lot of when I come to New Zealand. We moved to New Zealand 20 years ago now, when my daughter was 6 months old, or nearly 20 years ago. And this particular song was I sort of moved here originally for the snow, and I used to go snowboarding a lot, and this was around the time of the snow park up in Cadrona Valley. Used to go up there, and there's a particular song that they was on a video that one of the high-class snowboarders, Sean White, was on, and it just reminds me of that. And it was the times where we had not a worry in the world, first young baby, moved to a new country, life was great, and it was the start of something new. And Shapeshifter being a Kiwi musician was just, it's a really appropriate song, and I just love this song. It's real upbeat and it just gets me going. Different genre.
Yeah, well, it's time to put away the tissues after Trisha and get out the moves for Shapeshifter. You've just been listening to Shapeshifter by Electric Dreams, and I'm interviewing Glenn Thurston on Real People in the psychotherapist chair with me, Jerry Pives. And Glenn, you're taking us through your Music with Meaning. That was your fifth one. What's your sixth track that you got for us, and why have you chosen it?
This one reminds me of a pretty significant moment in my life when I started the campaign with Turn the Corner, climbing Corner Peak, doing a lot of training. So while I was training out in the mountains, I'd always have my earplugs in, cranking the tunes, and I was going through a bit of a drum and bass, bit of dance music stage, and this song used to always come on, and it always just put me in a really good headspace and made me feel really good about the decision I was making and what I was trying to do about becoming public about my health and everything like that. So so this one's Elton John and Dua Lipa with Cold Heart. It's just a really cool, it's one of those songs that just makes you want to, even when you're on the building site, bust out a few tunes of your own. Yeah, it's just a real good feel-good song.
Nice. Let's have a listen. Well, that was Elton John and Dua Lipa, Cold Hearts. So, Glenn, we've come to our last track of music. Tell us what you've chosen for us for your last track.
Yeah. Well, I struggled with this because I'm just going through a real phase at the moment with my country music. So there's so many country music songs that I actually enjoy listening to. It's just nice, chill, relaxed. But there's one in particular by Dylan Scott, The Good Times Go By Too Fast. This one's just, there's just some words in it that just remind you to, you know, enjoy the moment, the time you're in. There's a couple of words in there, better soak it in, make it last, and live it up while we can. And it's just so appropriate in the life that I live these days, and to live in the moment, live in the now, and enjoy every moment, because my kids are growing up real quick. Won't be long, and the loan I've had for them will be gone, and they'll be out the door. And yeah, just trying to remind myself to live in it and enjoy these moments, because the good times go by fast. Yeah, mate, just because I was sick up until I was 38 doesn't mean it's over. I got many years ahead of me.
Beautiful, beautiful. And, well, Glenn, thank you so much. This is going to be our last track. We're going to kind of serenade out this piece of music. And this is the Nashville guy, isn't he? I think he actually lives in Nashville, Dylan. So he's right in there. So listen, I just want to say a really big thank you again for coming on. I'm struck by how your message and your work and your voice is hitting some of the most important areas in New Zealand society, I think. The construction industry, certainly down south here in the South Island, you know, people living in remote places, you know, hunting and hunters. I just think that you are reaching people who really need a voice. You're really out there with some of the groups that someone like me is unlikely to ever reach, actually. So I really want to acknowledge the work you're doing. I want to acknowledge the journey you've been on. And is there anything that you haven't said that you'd like to say on this show? Is there anything that we haven't covered that you think is just part of your message that you'd like to get out there? I want to, while you're thinking about that, I want to remind the listeners they can find out more about Glenn and his work with mentalhunt.co.nz. YouTube channel, Instagram. You can find stuff about him anywhere you just go looking for him. And he's very contactable and very accessible. Having said all that, is there anything more you'd like to say, Glenn?
I don't know whether there's anything more, but I guess emphasizing on their education, if people get the opportunity or to look into getting some sort of training, definitely do it. But just elaborating on, if you are out there and having a hard time, you're not on your own. I know it's a very cliche thing to say, but genuinely go and check in on your mates, not putting a post up on Facebook and hoping people see it and think you're an amazing person. Genuinely actually send someone that you know a message and talk to them as a person, not as a robot. I think those key things are paramount to creating change and just normalizing this conversation around mental health. I can guarantee you the person that you're talking to is having the same issues. So, yeah. But thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak out loud again, to reach a bigger audience. This is what it's about for us. With this YouTube stuff we're doing, we're not trying to get YouTube famous. It's about trying to get a really important message far and wide. That's it. Yes, we want an audience just so that they can get the messages as they unfold and spread it far and wide. And hopefully this starts to go international as well, which already has. So that's good.
Yeah, it's not just relevant here in New Zealand, what you're doing. Really, really important that this message of yours gets out. And if for no other reason than doing this work on yourself and facing the demons and working out what you need in order to be the best version of yourself, to be the real you, I would say, to find the real you underneath what's gone on. You know, this is a great song to go out on because actually, you know, being able to live your life more fully with the pain, but to have the joy come in. My experience has been that the more I've plumbed the depths of the pain in my life, the more joy I've found, the more fulfillment I've found. So it kind of gets darker and lighter. I remember the writer Scott Peck wrote a book. I was only 16 or 17, maybe 18 when I read it, The Road Less Traveled. Mm. And I remember from that book, he said, don't read this book if you want your life to stay gray. He said, only read this book if you're willing to dive into the black and have all the colors of the rainbow. Don't like to talk about the rainbow too much and all the connotations these days, but all the colors of life, all the rich diversity of real life. You can't even use the word diversity without thinking about a bunch of woke idiots. all the great color that's in life. If you read this book, you're gonna feel better and worse. And I love that. I love that. And the good times, they're going to go by fast. You know, life is very short. So dig now, dive in. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't reach for the booze. Find out what you can do to find out about yourself. Hey, here we go. Glenn, thank you so much. We're going to go out thank to you. Dylan Scott because the good times, they go by too fast.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to? Or dislike what you're listening to. Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you. So connect with us today.